cliffcentral.com. Already knows she's there for good
times. How do you like this, huh?
Never tell her, she never will. Not for a dollar bill, she will pass.
Oh, it's so bad. What do you think, Flax? Isn't that great?
It sounds like, and I've never heard, but if you had to like mix Jennifer Rush with, who was in the spa ad for the liquor?
Time Circle?
PJ Powers.
PJ Powers. Like I'd expect it sounds like this.
Who was in the spa ad for the liquor? This is exactly what she didn't want.
My money. So hard for it, honey. She worked hard for the money, so you better put her right.
I just know that the dance moves that go with this must be equally bad.
Oh, that. But this.
You could probably take Drake's Hotline Bling music video and put this song over it.
Wow. I will be forever changed that I got to hear this song in its entirety, Gareth. Thank you.
Okay, well, it's my pleasure. Let's let it play right out. Go on.
The backing vocals are terrible.
Oh, Ben, don't be like that.
Everything about that is
How are we
bad.
Doing there? Are we still alive? All right, and now for another song before we get into news. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. It's enough stupidity for one morning, right?
Yeah, please.
Okay. This morning we're starting something brand new. We thought that what we do every week is we get into the news with Mubs every single day. And there isn't really any moment where you can get a couple of minutes of just the headlines, just the things that you need to know for that week. A weekly update, effectively. So starting today, we're going to get a weekly update from Mabali once on a Friday every week so that you can make absolutely sure you know what's going on and we leave nothing out. It sounds pretty simple and it should be, so this will become required listening for anybody who wants to know what the hell is happening in the world. Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. Here it is. I don't know what that noise was, but here's Mubs with the weekly, what are we going to call this?
The weekly news update. Let's keep
it
simple.
Is that it? Call it what it is.
Call it what it is.
The very creative. The weekly news update.
This is what you need to know. So, one of the biggest talking points from the week has been the spat between the U.S. Embassy and the South African government. This all began when the embassy put up on their website that a terror alert for high-density places in South Africa, such as shopping malls, was sent out. This is all after IS made it clear that they plan to increase their terror attacks during the month of Ramadan. Clayson Munyala took to Twitter to accuse the Americans of causing unnecessary panic, saying that they'd issued a warning last year before and that amounted to nothing. To which Patrick Gaspard said, you know, to issue any kind of warning is not wasted effort. Now, some of the shopping centers took the warning seriously, saying that they were beefing up security. And then the South African government accused the U.S. of not following procedure regarding issuing the terror alert, which the U.S. government denied, saying, no, we did consult with the South African government. So after a lot of he said, she said between the U.S. and the South African government, where we currently stand is that the U.S. embassy said that they will continue to cooperate with the South African government. There is currently no change in status of the security message, which was issued on June the 4th.
But the presidency have come out with their own statement, contradicting the statement of the Department of Foreign Affairs, which makes this complicated. Mm-hmm. It means that two very important parts of government, the presidency and the Department of Foreign Relations, not talking to each other.
This is true, Gareth.
Very bad, right?
Absolutely very bad. So we wait and see at how this develops further.
Do we really need to be poking the bear and looking for trouble with the world's biggest economy? Do we really need that right now? Should we not be trying our best to be friendly in every which way? And if the US embassy wants to warn their citizens that there are potential threats to them anywhere in the world, what business is it of ours to tell them they must do it a different way? Surely. Okay, what else is in the news?
You raise a good question. Now, on Tuesday this week, the president and the finance minister met in a meeting that lasted over 4 hours. And you think your one-hour meetings at work are long. Part of the things that they discussed include how South Africa avoided being downgraded by S&P and Moody's. The minister also let the president in on his plans of how he plans to improve our economy. Now, we're currently on a triple B minus rating with a negative outlook.
Right.
The minister says South Africa has to show the world that the country is capable of increasing growth. The minister is targeting a 2% increase. Does anybody want to guess what percentage we're currently on in terms of economic growth in this country?
0.6.
Absolutely right, Ben. You obviously have been paying good attention to the news this week.
Wow, he's a star for Ben.
Yeah. 0.6% is where we currently stand. The minister wants us to go up to 2%. Now, what's interesting is that the IMF put out some figures in April listing the world's fastest growing economy. So I'm going to go through some of these, right?
All right.
In 10th place is Senegal with 6.6% growth.
Good for Senegal.
Senegal.
Huh, so it is possible.
It's absolutely possible. Bangladesh also at 6.6%. Tanzania 6.9%. Cambodia 7% growth in the last financial year.
Wow, these are not great countries with stable everythings, and you know they don't have the best leadership in the world necessarily. Cambodia, you know, Tanzania. This is terrific.
Now, this one I found absolutely shocking because I would not have guessed it. Iraq. Huh. 7.2% growth that they managed to show. I mean, you think of everything that you usually hear from the media with regards to the situation in Iraq, and yet amidst all of that, they still managed to grow their economy.
Very impressive.
India, 7.5%. Bhutan, 8.4%.
Bhutan?
Bhutan. Huh. The Ivory Coast, 8.5%.
Wow.
And then the country that showed the fastest growth in the last year, according to the IMF, Myanmar, 8.6% growth.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what's wrong with us? Come on, we can get to 2%. It's such a low stat. Come on, let's do this.
We have to do this, really. We've got no other option but up.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Very good.
Now, as part of the burning platform with Justice yesterday, you will have heard him ask, why on earth isn't anyone questioning, reporting on, or investigating how it is that KPMG came to charge 23 million rand for its SARS investigation involving the finance minister?
Yes, he was furious about that. And if you want to listen to the podcast to hear how furious he was, which I suggest you do, you can go to cliffcentral.com. Justice Malala yesterday with the burning platform, brought to you by Nando's.
Now, the finance minister was the one who released this figure in a written parliamentary reply to the EFF's Floyd Shivambu, who'd asked the question, well, how much did it cost? Shivambu also asked the finance minister if there had been an open tender process for the appointment of the agency that would conduct the investigation. Huh. This was a 23 million rand tender, essentially.
Right.
Can you say tenderpreneurs, KPMG? Thank you, because that's just how the game works in politics, folks. Essentially, what KPMG were hired to do was to conduct a forensic investigation into the rogue unit.
Mm-hmm.
They also had to investigate allegations of irregularities and misconduct within SARS. Now, KPMG came back with their report and said that it was not conclusive, to which Shivambu responded, yet 23 million rand has been spent already.
Correct. So where is the money? And why aren't these people being pulled onto the carpet like when they get upset with the U.S. ambassador, they call him into international relations, and they berate him? Now, why don't they call all the directors of KPMG, a bunch of fat cats, no doubt, onto the carpet and say, you people have just made a 23 million rand mistake. You come up with an inconclusive report that tells us absolutely nothing. Why, oh, why did you charge us so much money for no information? Embarrassment. I'm as angry as Justice was yesterday.
I believe you, Gareth. All right, if we look at a bit of international news.
Yes.
It's official. Bill Clinton probably experienced one of the best semis he's had in his 69 years when it became official that Hillary is the Democratic presidential front runner. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It will be Trump versus Clinton. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the focus has very quickly shifted to who Hillary is considering for vice president. She was speaking to Anderson Cooper on CNN when she said, "I am looking for the most qualified people." Mm. Standard political 101 response. Now, Donald Trump had this to say about his VP.
Crooked Hillary.
He says that he will pick a governing partner who understands the ins and outs of policy making. Who's the guy that we usually speak to on a Monday from the States? Is it Warren?
Warren Holstein, yeah.
Remember Warren Holstein threw in Sarah Palin's name in there at some point?
Yes.
And I said, can you imagine a Trump, as president and Sarah Palin as his vice?
That would be the clusterfuck of all clusterfucks. If Donald Trump took on Sarah Palin as his deputy, the United States of America would officially be the world's biggest idiocracy. And no one would be able to save them. If she comes in, I mean, Donald Trump may represent a number of dangers and may represent a number of things that people are uncomfortable about. But Donald Trump, he still seems like a relatively sane human being by comparison to Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin appears to me to be the kind of rube who she rolled out of bed one morning and decided that she wanted to be a beauty queen, and then a couple of mornings later decided she wanted to be governor of Alaska. And if she rolls out of bed and says, "I feel like being vice president," and he actually lets her, then we're in big trouble, the whole world. But listen to this quickly.
"First of all, I'd have a teleprompter. You ever see crooked Hillary Clinton? She walks in. Good afternoon, Clinton. How are you? This is crooked Hillary Clinton.
Oh gosh, she'll be a disaster.
He's doing an impression of Crooked Hillary. It's great. Crooked Hillary.
Oh dear. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, not only do we have our municipal elections to look forward to in August, we'll also be watching that presidential race.
And how much fun is that going to be?
Wow.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be like watching a comedy series.
Right.
I just saw Donald Trump tweeted, "Obama just endorsed Crooked Hillary. He wants 4 more years over Obama, but nobody else does."
Crooked Hillary. Is that what he's going to call her from now?
Oh, that's her thing. Yeah, that's what he calls her.
"We have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck. She's been crooked from the beginning, and to think that she has a shot at being our president, Crooked Hillary Clinton. We can't let it happen. You can't let it happen."
He repeats himself, but it works.
Fox just came out with a very good poll. "I do great with her. Now, I will say this. I saw one of the shows. They said, this is hard to believe, I've had 55,000 negative ads. 55,000. This is not, they will tell you, you know, I have to be 100%. If I'm off by 1%, the next day they say Donald Trump exaggerated. 55,000 negative ads, close to $100 million in negative, and I'm still doing great, and we're going to beat Hillary so easily." Oh. "Now, Kasich has had no negative ads. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. He said, I'm doing better against Hillary. Nobody cares. Nobody even knows who he is. No, of course he does. He's had no negative. Let him have $100 million of negative ads. You know, in Florida, which I won in a landslide, 21 points, I won Florida by massive. And we had so many negative ads that I couldn't even watch. And I told the story. Adam Scott, the great golfer from Australia, I own Trump National Doral. We're having the Cadillac World Championship. Adam Scott hit this incredible last shot, flopped it up, put it right next to the pin, sinks the putt. And I'm saying, oh, please don't put on the ads now. Just get through, hand him the trophy. And they said, and now we'll be back in 3 minutes I said, wait a minute. And I'm surrounded by television sets all over the place. And I've been watching in Florida during the race, did we have a big victory there? Don't forget, it doesn't get any bigger than that. 21 points. Okay. So during, I'm saying, wait a minute. So now Adam Scott's getting ready. And ad after ad, Trump. And by the way, most of these ads are lie. Little truth to every once in a while, you know, a little bit. But most of these ads are a total lie. We had ad after ad after ad. And then he got his trophy. I said, this can only happen to me. This can only happen to me. But if Kasich would get a little dose of some ads,
nobody knows.
Sink like a rock. I mean, I really say it seriously. Same thing with Lion Ted. I mean, nobody hits him with negative ads because nobody cares. Nobody cares. And let me tell you, the only person that crooked Hillary Clinton does not want to run against is Donald Trump. In fact, the only person. Do you remember? So 2 months ago, we gave her a little dose.
Shut up, Trump. It's Boniso. Hello. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks. I just want to say that on a Friday, I made an intellectual lecture on a Friday.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Claudie.
I was listening to yesterday's podcast last night. What a fucking asshole this guy is, eh?
Well, he's the boss of the SABC. What do you mean?
Dude, what the hell? What does he mean is an intellectual lecture?
You heard him. Listen, here it is.
Halala, my freestata, halala. Halala, limbobo, halala.
And you know what the thing is?
Halala, khauting, halala.
Yeah?
No, and you get those people who cheer him on.
Yeah.
And they just fuel this, like, perpetual vial of nonsense. Because now he's going to walk out of that, whatever Congress that was, thinking that he made the greatest speech ever.
Listen to this speech. This is a great one, too. He just basically calls out every province. You ready?
Halala, Gauteng, halala.
Halala.
Halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Wait, hang on. It gets better.
Ya leboa.
Okay.
Really?
I'm very proud that I'm a Free State boy.
How do the rest of the Free State feel about that?
Doing wonderful.
Yeah, hey.
In South Africa. I'm very proud and I'm not apologetic about it.
Yeah.
And I know that people of South
What's that?
A lot of people from Free States are not proud that you're from Nelo.
No, we're not.
You know, and you know what the thing is with these people that are cheering him?
Yeah.
Because as you said yesterday, there's like a huge majority of like dumb people who are holding the rest of the country back.
Yeah.
And I think with the recently, with like the government sort of like ridiculing intellectualism in the country, the so-called clever blacks, as Jay-Z called them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people join government nowadays. A lot of very smart people, they join government with totally the right intention to like change things and everything, but because there's such a lot of dumb people in parliament or in government, they get dumbed down. It's the same people who ridiculed the public protector when she sort of like tabled her budget.
And it's
remember
the
other day when she gave an interview.
And this is what drives me mad, Sponiso. Do you remember that the State Security Agency, which is David Mahlobo's department, are the ones who said that Thuli Madonsela was a CIA spy? They're the
exactly.
same. They're the same people who want us to believe them over the U.S. government issuing a terror alert. I don't know whether they think we're as stupid as they are, or whether we maybe are because we've got the government we deserve. I don't know.
That's the thing. A lot of dumb people are so gullible that during these times, I'm in Maritzburg right now, and yesterday, you know, because the NC is doing its manifesto launch either today or sometime during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all of a sudden, there's like a lot of ANC brand new cars, a lot of free giveaways, and people are loving this. And then they're going to go to the polls in August, vote for the ANC because they think, oh, the ANC is the greatest party in the world. It liberated us, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They're giving us free shit and things. And then they're going to forget about them. After August, after they've won, they're going to forget about all these poor people here.
I've got another great Claudi speech. Do you want to hear some more?
I actually don't think so. I'm so dumbed down right now. I don't want to hear a lot of another Claudi, actually.
All right, well, I'm
feeling like my intellect is just dying down.
It's being
to this guy.
It's being beaten to death in your head.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, Sponiso. Thanks, man.
Halala.
Halala Gauteng halala.
Halala.
Halala KwaZulu-Natal halala.
Halala.
Thank you. There we go.
You see, when you have never run a spaza shop, you talk like a person who has never run a spaza shop. And I can see when you talk about commercial, you don't know what you're talking about. The criteria that people use when they select a journalist, they select a journalist because they have exposed someone. They have exposed government. That is the criteria that they use. And when I talk about qualification, you need to understand, I'm talking about just a paper on the wall. Are you saying we black people who are corrupt? That is the question. Are these black people corrupt? When white people run the countries, they are not corrupt.
Wow. He's just something else, that Claudie. Let's hope he stays for a long time so we have plenty of material. What else is in the news?
Lastly, Gareth, a Muslim funeral for Muhammad Ali was
In the words of Gwede Mantashe, because if you have a Muslim funeral, it has to be the day after you die. Come on.
But this is what happened in Louisville, Kentucky, is a Muslim funeral was held for Muhammad Ali on Thursday.
So today's just a memorial service.
Yes.
Okay.
So this drew thousands of admirers, up to 14,000, an estimated 14,000 people were in attendance in his hometown. Ali, of course, died last week Friday of septic shock in Arizona at the age of 74. Now, what you might have known is that Ali and his family had been planning his funeral for over 10 years, making sure it would honor his Muslim faith, while also adapting the demands of Western media-driven culture. And if you think about it, I mean, he'd been suffering with, it's Alzheimer's, right?
Parkinson's.
He'd been suffering with Parkinson's for what, 30 years? Mm-hmm. So, you would think about, oh, they've been planning it for 10 years. Okay, it makes sense.
Sure.
So today will be the memorial service that you're talking about, Gareth. That will include Ali will be buried today after a funeral procession through the streets of his hometown. Luminaries, including former U.S. President Bill Clinton, giving one of the eulogies. Mm-hmm. Also in attendance...
Will Crooked Hillary be there?
I don't know about Crooked Hillary. Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan, also in attendance. Will Smith, coincidentally, who played Muhammad Ali. In the movie Ali. One of the pallbearers. That's one of his responsibilities. So yes, Ali will be finally laid to rest today, America's Friday, basically.
All right. So they had the funeral, but he's basically they're now going to put him in the ground.
Yes.
5 days later. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's what you need to know from this last week.
Very good. What an interesting summary of the news. Ben, do you want to give us a quick synopsis of the sport for the week? Because there are always just one or two headlines that we miss along the way.
Yeah, it was quite a sad week in sport in that obviously Muhammad Ali's death was the thing that defined the beginning of the week. But then Nigeria's Stephen Keshi also died. Mm-hmm. Now, he was in talks with Orlando Pirates to become the new Orlando Pirates coach. And then Kimbo Slice, he also died. He was an MMA fighter. Just miraculously suddenly died. He was in his early 40s and he was still fighting fit. Like, technically, he was still fighting. So, therefore, fighting fit. Ronaldo is the richest sports person in the world now. And that is official. And he's just everything that a human being could be, really. The Proteas finally agreed to terms with Australia on getting a day night test. They'll be played in Adelaide in November. And they also whipped the Australians in a match, that many people are looking for. Easy headlines are saying it was the team with the fewest white people to ever play cricket in South Africa.
The fewest?
There was not a white bowler in the team, Gareth.
Wow.
Not
okay.
One.
Well, there we are.
So people were making a big deal about that and that there was 8 players of colour.
Okay.
I don't know what is the least derogatory thing, because you can't say non-white. I mean, that's like saying you're not white, so that's not right.
Yeah.
Player of colour also sounds like a little crap. Anyway, the ANC Youth League called off their protests with the Springboks because they had a good chat to them. Everything seems to be okay.
What a relief.
The All Blacks announced their first team of the year, and the rest of the rugby world collectively shared itself.
Yes.
Tiger has a new book coming out. It's all about golf, unfortunately. Sharapova got banned. And the Cleveland Cavaliers had a bit of a fight back in the NBA Finals, so it wasn't too one-sided. And those are your big, big rumblings from the sporting world.
All right, now you need something useful on a Friday morning. You're going to spend a couple of days doing nothing. You're going to have Saturday and Sunday off. You might have tonight to go and spend with someone you like, someone you care about, some people you enjoy the company of. And you need to save money because our economy is down the toilet and growth seems to be in a negative at the moment. So we need to find ways of saving cash. And Michael Flax is very good at this. So I'm going to put him in charge this morning of saving you money. Flax, what have you got for us? You said the other day you had some tips to help people go out, enjoy their lives, but spend as little as possible. Do you want to tell us how this all works, please?
So I'm trying to figure out if it's cheaper to eat out, given all like the food specials that you have, or eat in for two people or four people or family. What? Right.
So you've done the calculations.
I've done the calculations and I've gone and checked out the restaurant specials. And it turns out it could possibly be cheaper just to go and eat out. Not healthier, but cheaper.
Okay, let's go.
So on a Monday, if you go to Spur, it's buy one, get one free.
All right.
So it will only cost you R65.90 for two people for dinner.
Excellent.
That's pretty cheap.
That's good. Monday night. Right, I got it.
On a Tuesday, you can go to John Dory's, get a Haken chips for R33 each.
Huh.
That's R66 for two people for dinner.
That's good value.
That's really cheap.
All right.
On a Wednesday night, you can get a Wacky Wednesday from Steers and only pay R43.90 for dinner for two.
Excellent. So far, we killed it all with fast food Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Thursdays, the specials start dying out a bit, but you can eat as much as you want at Panarottis for R70 a person. So you can have like four pizzas each for $70.
So that's really the big fat day, right? Okay.
And Friday, there's hardly any specials because you go into the weekend and weekend, they cut all specials. But
Friday, you go home to your parents.
Fridays, you have McDonald's. Two Big Macs will cost you about $100. So all in total, roughly, I'm going to round this out to about R380.
Oh, yeah, you will be rounded out by this.
Yeah. All right, go on.
R380 for the week in meals for two people, which comes to about R75 a meal. That's not bad.
That's an average price for a meal, $75. All right.
You know, Flax, I was ready to poo-poo your suggestion, but I mean, now that I think about how much money I spend every time I walk out of a supermarket buying stuff for the week.
Yep.
And then you got this wear and tear on your kitchen.
I went yesterday. Crooked Hillary. No, I mean, I went yesterday to the shops and I could not believe I walked out of there with two packets. It cost me R1,000. And it was tea and coffee and like, it wasn't, I didn't buy smoked salmon from the fjords of Norway or saffron gathered by the tender hands of a peasant virgin in the flats of Kazakhstan. Oh no, this was just ordinary stuff. Nothing fancy at all. Staple stuff.
And you buy it in the portions that you'll never eat. Like, if you two people living together, you buy a full thing of, like, a full head of lettuce. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to finish a full head of lettuce in even maybe 4 days. And by the third day, it's off.
Yeah.
So I'm wasting that.
Well, God bless your calculations. Let's see if it helps people.
It's just not healthy. That's the problem.
Well, you're going to have to run more and maybe just eat smaller portions of that stuff.
Have leftovers.
Burgers, yeah.
Yeah, Pashita says have leftovers. She's
yeah, so
right.
You can bring them to work as lunch.
So in other words, Monday's Spur meal, you cut it in half and you have the rest of it on Tuesday.
Well, I mean, those four pizzas on a Thursday at that all-you-can-eat place, they will come in handy as leftovers.
How long can you keep a pizza?
You can't take away, though. You can't take away. That's the deal.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But how long could you keep a pizza? I mean, have you ever tried to keep it for more than a day and a half?
We did some research on Relax It's Flax, I think last week or the weekend before. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you can actually freeze takeaways for up to 3 months if you don't finish it.
Oh, I wouldn't want to try that.
And a pizza, what you do is you leave it out just to cool down, and then you can put it in the fridge for up to 72 hours, and still, it will be fine. As long as you cool it down before you put it in the fridge.
Well, I'm not going to try that. If you want to, you go ahead.
Back in my fat days, mm-hmm. I used to smash two pizzas at Andiccio's. Just after an exam, I'd smash two pizzas. Or like end of matric was like celebration. I went and I smashed two pizzas.
Are these two large pizzas?
Yeah, 230 centimeters.
Michael didn't know size. Pizza was only one size and it was large.
He didn't even know there was a small one, yeah.
Mike, you could write a book about your fat days, eh?
Well, you should.
I should have been on one of those campaigns or something.
Michael, did you ever cry when you ate? Or was it just...
You cry when you're sad.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes it must have been quite a sensory overload for you.
No, I wouldn't say I ever cry. I was really happy when I ate, though.
Give me more. Come on.
You know, I love this show called My 600-Pound Life. It's just the most frightening thing that I watch in my week. And you'll hear those people say that they will often eat themselves sick and then carry on eating after they've been sick.
So in other words, they actually throw up from the food and then they can't stop. Yes. They keep going.
Can you imagine?
You really have to be, you have to love eating. You have to love food.
Addicted to it. And there's some that hide it under their beds, on their pillows. They hide food all over the house.
You get the emergency pizza under the bed.
Yeah.
So when you wake up, you go, oh, there it is.
You start panicking and your dinosaur hands start getting all terrified.
Can you imagine you live
sweaty
in a world where the phrase emergency pizza actually has a place?
Yeah.
Some people do. Scary. Aren't you glad you're not fat anymore? Seriously.
I'm so happy.
You know, life is much better now.
I'm not
right?
at my ideal weight yet, no. But I'm still...
You're getting there.
I'm sort of like a yo-yo weight at the moment.
I saw some people being very rude about your titties yesterday.
Yeah. It doesn't really faze me.
No. Good. And don't let it faze you.
What they called body shamers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in 2016, I mean, I've heard every single fat joke. You can't really offend me with anything.
You're over all of them.
Yeah, I was last picked for everything. Even if I was a captain and I said, I want you on my team, the Oak wouldn't even come to my team.
Shame flex.
They never ever made me captain.
Oh, that's terrible.
They thought that by making me captain, I'd get picked for a team. Yep. But then no one wanted to come to my team.
Oh. Well, you know what? Life is better now. Mm.
Those mean people. Look at you now. Look at you now.
Exactly.
They're jealous.
I was telling somebody the other day that people in school who never ever like spoke to me, they thought they were cooler than me, are now like sending me messages on Facebook. Hey, I heard you work for Gareth. Is it possible to get this? And you actually think I'm going to reply to that message on Facebook?
Because they've been horrible to you up to now.
Yeah, now you just need something from me.
All right. Now, here's something interesting. Here's a Jamaican guy who talks about the Zika virus conspiracy. And I think you might find this interesting. I'm not sure I know what he's saying, but this guy's from Jamaica. He seems to have the shortened sweet on the Zika virus. Let's take a listen quickly, see what we can learn.
Well, my view upon this Zika virus, well, let me set up in my Jamaica, see? Before I go there, sir.
All right, try and translate for us, Mabs. Come on. Anybody? Ben, you can speak a little...
Well, my view upon this Zika virus. Well, let me set up in my Jamaica, see? Before I go there, sir. The Prime Minister of Jamaica and all the leaders over the world, we are talking about a mosquito.
So basically he's saying, this thing about the Zika virus, right, it just means that all of us, including all the presidents and everyone, now are talking about mosquitoes.
I do them thing, listen to me now. When you get away the chicken gun or something, stop telling about mosquito.
So basically, this means that we can't talk about chickens anymore, and now we have to talk about these bloody mosquitoes.
I am the voice of all the mosquito generation. Them tell me to tell unos, so to stop the lies, pandems.
Mosquitoes have been given a rough run, too many lies and propaganda against them, and I, for one, will stand up for this as the voice of the mosquito.
Oh, wow. All right.
Mosquito now bring nothing to come here. People, listen to me, man. Me a idiot. I'm not a fool. And the world know me a idiot. But them people are trying to take with the fool.
He sounds like Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars.
He actually really does.
What did he say?
He said that it's time for us to take a stand with the mosquitoes because they're not as bad as everyone makes them out to be.
All right.
Even though people are dying.
Sorry, even though?
People are dying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's very all over the place.
Oh, mosquito for travel from Brazil. Come on, Jamaica, come give me Zigvee. No, tell me now. Or what am I going to do? Then I go fly over the Atlantic Ocean, swim across the Caribbean Sea, and then bring you gongi wee. No, listen to me, no, man.
It is absolutely absurd to think that a mosquito would want to move from Brazil to the West Indies for it to fly and then swim and then sunbathe afterwards.
Listen to me, no, man. And if they're not going to eat that way, then that simply means that they're going to take plane come here. That means that they start get visa. Mosquito start get... Hey, listen to me, man. Show me a crystal, me no one cost a stone and fling no bad word in you. Eh? No, listen, stop telling about mosquito. People.
He said, even if it was possible, the mosquitoes will struggle to get a visa. And therefore, again, we can't take this seriously. People must stop being so mean about mosquitoes.
Them sit down with them and talk about buy up this trial and kind of something. Let's see how money them look.
I think we're done with this guy. I've got to be honest. I don't know what else.
I am very impressed with Ben's Jamaican, though.
Yeah, Ben, that's very good.
That's very good, Ben.
So you did in high
not
school.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm blown away, really. That was terrific.
Hillary, fuck.
What? Sorry?
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
This guy. I can't get enough of this. This U.S. election is going to be terrific. I went out for lunch on Wednesday with someone who's quite important in the ad industry. He's a very well-known and well-respected man. And we took a bet, and I put $100 down on Donald Trump winning the election. And he said to me, are you insane? And I said, look, do you want to take the bet or not? And he did. So he's backing Hillary for the $100. I'm backing Trump for the $100. That's not to say I'm backing Trump for president, but I do think he's got a very, very solid chance.
Ooh.
He's a master of branding. He's a master of self-marketing and self-aggrandizement. This guy is unparalleled in the world of trying to convince stupid people that he is their savior. He's the best since Jesus, and I really do think he's going to pull it off.
Exactly, and people actually like it when he speaks like that, when he's racist and he speaks all those things. They say he's been real and honest.
Oh, yeah, they warm to that stuff because they're like, oh, he's saying what I think.
He let him be the bad person.
Because most people are horrible. They don't realize how horrible they are. They think they're perfectly normal. I think they're perfectly sane and sensible, not racist and not bigoted and not cruel and not misogynistic. Donald Trump is all of those things, and they see it in themselves, and they see it reflected from him, and they're more than happy to go with it. Put all the other crap aside.
Trump, like, does speeches within his speeches. So he'll be like, me and Hillary met at Trump Towers. Oh, by the way, our own Trump Towers, and we're having a special
on
tonight.
Exactly, yeah, he does. He throws that in. That's why he's so brilliant. It's what we call branded content. He's doing branded content in the middle of his political diatribe.
Sorry, I just got to point out that Michael has tweeted a picture of three burgers and fries.
Nice.
There's
flex.
A picture of three burgers.
I said that's what Friday feels like. And you can follow me on Twitter at Michael Flex.
Now, well done, Donald Trump. Look at that. All right, everybody calm down. Here's an email. Remember the other day we got an email from Oki who suggested a new work week. He said that what we should do in order to curb unemployment in the country, and it's not a bad idea, he said, if we all do 4 days or 3 days, that's all you get. You get the choice of four-day weeks or three-day weeks. You get paid the same for both. The one just means you have to work on Saturday and Sunday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. The other one means Monday to Thursday. You get paid the same, but obviously you get more time off on the one. There are ups and downs. He said basically you'll employ two people for every one job that we have in this country. And we all poo-pooed it, Mubs, to quote you. Poo-pooed seems to be the thing that you don't want to do this morning.
Okay.
But Oki says, thanks for reading my email about the work week. One thing I thought of afterwards was, one would think that the technological advances made in the world today, after all these years, we should be able to decrease the amount of days we work. With all the technology at our disposal and robots and all the rest of it, we should now be able to do things in 4 days that used to take us 5 days or more to do in 1960. Don't you think? No person in the world should have to work for more than 4 days in a row these days. Thanks again for the show. I listen to it every day when I get home from work. Cheers and take care. Have a good weekend, Oki. P.S. He says there are a couple of interesting websites that he sent to Michael Flax. And here's another bit of information. Cigarettes are 6 times more expensive in Australia than they are in South Africa. And yet they smoke like there's no tomorrow. Another attempt by governments to force people to put certain things and not put other things into their bodies. It's ridiculous, right? It's insane. There's lots of insanity. I'll tell you what isn't insane, though. Coming up in a short while, we'll speak to John Matteson. I haven't seen John in a very long time. He's come out with an absolutely stellar book called God, Spies, and Lies. It is subtitled Finding South Africa's Future Through Its Past. What John has done is he has used his incredible experiences over the years as both a journalist, someone who's worked within the circles of government, someone who's worked in broadcasting, someone who's had an inside track on pretty much everything that's gone on in South Africa for the longest time. And while he's read just about every book there is about South Africa pre- and post-apartheid, he decided, you know what, they're leaving out some things, there's some stuff that is missing, I'm going to write a book. And he decided to put, and we're all grateful for it, because we have a version here of the history of this country that I think covers some areas that others do not, and certainly covers it from a point of view very often that others do not. So we're thrilled to have John Madison popping by to talk to us about God, spies, and lies. That's in the next half hour or so. It's going to be terrific. While we're on emails and things, here is an email from Ngobile. Do you remember Ngobile sent us an email a while ago about education?
Vaguely.
All right. Education is the answer, but not in the conventional sense as we currently know it. Perfect examples are the Nordic countries. See, this is what I love about our listeners. As opposed to the people who call into talk radio or who listen to music radio, these people are smart. I keep telling everybody this, and they're not, you know, a lot of them go, oh, but, you know, I hear some interesting call. I never hear any intelligent callers on talk radio or on music radio. Never. They're all morons who wanted a shout out or a dedication. Or they're attention seeking. Listen to what Mobile says, and, you know, Orki earlier with his idea of the work week. People who have solutions. So Mobile says, education in the Nordic countries, they're the top in the world with highly skilled people. The kids have no homework. They attend 3 hours of school, and they educate on practical day-to-day life so that they can help their kids be better people.
Mm.
All humans know education is the most fundamental aspect of getting a truly prosperous nation going. The evidence is there. South Africa just needs to totally scrap its stupid education system and model it on the Nordic countries. But we must improve, if possible, as well. The standardized system of education needs to fall away. We need to start teaching practical things to our kids. And I believe any kid, by the time they reach 18, can be certified as an engineer, health professional, an artisan, all these things. We waste 12 years in standardized education on kids who within those 12 years would have been great professionals already contributing to society. Unemployment would have become a thing of the past. Classism and poverty would be eradicated. Tertiary education would be there to serve as a true enhancement to human development. It would be there for frontier education at the breakthrough of civilization. You could say that what tertiary education is doing currently is nothing like that. Tertiary currently is doing the job of what high schools should have done, and high schools are doing what primary schools should have done. For crying out loud, look at our maths. Kids don't even know how to do maths. When I grew up, there was just maths, higher grade and standard grade. By the way, if you took standard grade, you were laughed at in my school.
Yep, in most schools.
Well, Prof. Jonathan Janssen always said that he thought that one of the worst things that our education system has ever foisted upon the pupils of schools in South Africa is this idea of maths literacy. He loathed and despised and hated the idea of maths literacy. He said it was a way of dumbing people down, of allowing people to take a subject where they actually learned nothing important, and it made everybody dumber. And he's now going to Stanford University. We've lost him from the University of the Free State, unfortunately. Back to Ngobile's email, or are you bored yet?
No, carry
on. Sure. I stand to be corrected, but from what I've read and seen from educational experts and psychologists, by the age of 12, a kid would already have grasped skills that a matric pupil has. For example, if you start school at 7, for example, 5 years, you learn the essential by 12, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what Mobile is talking about here, but let's go back to the end. You may still say a kid is a kid. I agree, but I'm talking education. Of course, the kid will be a kid and have fun and do all the things kids do. But we undermine children's intelligence and we underestimate how smart they could be at a very young age. If I were in charge, I would implement this, as I know it means all of our problems will have been gone by the time the second generation of these new school kids emerge. Interesting ideas.
Well, I mean, you know that it's possible for it to work because that's what they're doing in Nordic countries, right? The only problem is you'd have to do a complete overhaul here. I mean, where do you start? Do you start by, you know,
what would we do?
You start by finding the right people who'll be able to teach these kids differently, right? So does that mean that you get rid of all the current teachers?
What would we do with Angie Mutsiga, for example? I mean, let's start there. Yeah, great suggestion, Mobile. I love the fact that there are people who are thinking of ways to solve our problems instead of just sitting down and complaining about them. Thank goodness for you. Is Vinny on now? Oh, this is terrific. Vinnie Lingham. Now, you remember I was in San Francisco and I was in Silicon Valley a while back. Mm. One of South Africa's most successful entrepreneurs who's made the voyage over to Silicon Valley. He's started more than 3, 4, 5 successful companies in very different areas. Vinnie Lingham is properly one of our success stories. I'm thrilled that we got to see him in Silicon Valley. But entirely apart from that, he has just spent a week on Necker Island with Sir Richard Branson and a bunch of other entrepreneurs. Do you know how cool that place is?
No, yeah. I don't, and I never will.
Neither will I, but it's worth seeing it through Vinny's eyes. And he's on the line right now to talk to us, and I can't wait because I know he was very excited about going on this trip. I want to know what they talked about, don't you? And we want to know what kind of a place it is. So let's cut to the chase. Let's get straight to Vinnie Lingham. Good morning, Vinnie.
How's it, Gareth?
How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for hosting all of those South African entrepreneurs at your house for a braai the other day in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, it was lekker.
It was nice. So you got to do some South African stuff.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, our first braai for the year because it's just gone into spring or summer now. So, yeah perfect timing.
Well, Vinny, we learned a lot from you on the trip, and I think that there were lots of other interesting things that we could take from this. But you yourself were more excited to go on this trip with Sir Richard Branson to Necker Island than you have been about a lot of things lately. How was it? First of all, what's the place like? Describe it to me.
It's gorgeous. Absolutely amazing. I posted some pics on my Instagram. Just check it out, Vinnie Lingham. I took some amazing shots. I mean, no filters. It's just beautiful. When the sun sets, you see these colors. I've never seen these colors in my life before. Gareth, unbelievable. Go look at the one of the sunset photo I posted. There's no filter on that. That was exactly how it looked.
It's pink.
Unbelievable.
The sea is pink.
Yeah, exactly. It was gorgeous.
Beautiful. And the island itself, it's a pretty big island by comparison with some of the ones in the Caribbean. And it's all owned by Sir Richard Branson, right? The whole thing.
Yeah, it's 72 acres, and there's only, I think, 30, it accommodates 30 people, 30 guests at one time on the island, and, you know, it's very spaced up. I mean, it's very, very, I think it's got, Richard said it had the most number of species of animals of any of the Galapagos Islands, or like, basically any island that size in the world, as far as I know. They've been breeding lemurs, they've been breeding... It's unbelievable how natural it is. I mean, there's iguanas running around. Like, you know, outside our room, there's this huge iguana. Oh. And outside one of the other guys' room was a big snake that ate a baby iguana. So it's pretty scary because I don't like reptiles that much. But I try not to walk around at night too much. But it was beautiful. And you can go kite surfing. You can go water skiing. We sailed. It's just a beautiful place to be.
It sounds fantastic. What did you guys do there, though? What was the real reason that all of you very successful entrepreneurs and rich people got together to do?
So Richard's been really interested in Bitcoin and blockchain technology over the past couple of years. So he's assembled a kind of like an annual think tank they call it the greatest minds in blockchain technology sort of event. And so it's the top players in the industry get together and discuss where the industry is going. We reflect on the previous year. We look at – because blockchain is going to change the world, without a doubt. I think it's gone past the point where it's a debate. It's just about when now, not if.
Blockchain technology, to summarize this for people, it's a means of creating a digital signature for things that makes them entirely unique, and it's corroborated by a non-centralized system. In other words, computers all over the world will verify – and corroborate the veracity of a certain piece of information, which contributes to the value of something. And in the case of Bitcoin, it would be an online currency, effectively.
Exactly. So, I mean, the way you think about Bitcoin is it's commoditized trust. If you don't have to trust a middleman to do something, the same way the internet disintermediated travel agencies and travel agents, where you can book a hotel directly or whatever.
Right.
Bitcoin is going to do the same thing to various other sectors. The sector that's most under threat is the financial sector. And that's why, to some extent, Bitcoin is a bit of a currency, especially for international transfers, that sort of thing. But that's not the only thing you can use it for. You can use it for asset tagging, asset transfers. Music. I invest in a music startup that's using the blockchain to track royalties, which is amazing because, as you know, in the music business, it's a different game. I mean, when you play a song, there's publishers, there's royalties go to the performing artists, there's royalties go to the writers, etc. And so this tracks it through the system, so it never gets lost, and it's immutable records, which means these records can't be changed either. Which is it's very powerful technology. It's very early stage. I think we're 6 or 7 years into the industry. But everyone knows it's going to change the world in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, the same way the internet came and created this new wave of innovation.
And of course, the part of this that makes most people excited is that it doesn't require a government or a central authority to manage it. It is managed by everybody equally.
Well, I wouldn't say everyone equally, but those who contribute power to the network get to be part of the network to ensure that it's a secure network. It's the most secure sort of computing network in the world. There was a calculation done, I think, 2 years ago, and that number's changed dramatically. But 2 years ago, there was more computing power in the Bitcoin network than the world's top 500 supercomputers combined.
Wow.
And now it's probably, 10 times that or 50 times that. So it's a very, very secure computing network. It's the most secure computing network in the world.
All right. So when you and Richard Branson, and who were the other people there? Were there any famous people we would know of?
Probably not. I mean, it's more industry. I mean, there was a European member of parliament there. Uh-huh. There were CEOs of tech companies like Bitfury and a couple others. But it's we had representatives from the U.S. government, Department of Justice.
Did you guys sat outside under the sun and you basically what were you in beach chairs on the sand discussing this stuff?
Yeah, it was all beachwear, obviously. But we actually split the days up pretty nicely. So we'd have 3 or 4 hours of debates and talks in the morning. And then you have the afternoon free to do whatever water sports you want to do. And then the evening you get together for dinner and have a few hours more of debates and discussions. But it was very productive. And I think it was very valuable for everyone. But there was a lot of, work hard, play hard type of approach to things.
Sounds amazing. At the end of it, do you think that we've come away with anything really useful?
I think that there was a lot of, obviously the networking is a key part of that sort of event. You get to know people. I made some good level government contacts as well. I think everyone made, really bonded with each other and made some good relations. But I think, the takeaway is that I think it's just an overwhelming positivity, especially from guys like, I mean, Richard's investing in Bitcoin companies and blockchain companies. And he's bullish about it. He's one of the legendary. I mean, I grew up looking up to Richard as a legend. I mean, when I read his books as a kid, you remember these days. It was on every single bookshelf in certain city and every bookstore you went into. There's a Richard Branson book, and so we all looked up to him as kids. And to see the guy, he's going strong. He's playing. I mean, he can beat anyone I know at tennis. He plays tennis every morning, I think in the morning and night. He is unbelievably fit and healthy. Yep. And he is razor sharp. He's an unbelievable man.
So are you. And Vinny, I see you were busy tweeting there that you want to join in my bet on Donald Trump becoming president. You think it's going to happen too?
Yeah, I think I have to say, I think it's a better than even chance.
Wow. Okay. So you want in?
I'm in. Let's go 50-50 on that.
All right, good. There we go. I'm sure that if Hillary does win, that the person I've taken this bet with will be only too happy to take $50 off you and $50 off of me.
Yeah, I know.
Similarly, I'll share the profits with you if we're right.
We're not voting for him, but it's the likely outcome.
All right. Well, listen, Vinny, thank you very much, and good luck to you. Please keep us informed of all of the things that you're busy with at the moment in the tech world. I think it's tremendous that there are South Africans that are making the kind of waves that you are in Silicon Valley, and we're very, very proud to have you there.
Thanks, Gareth. It was great seeing you out here. See you again soon.
Nice to see you. Thank you. Oh, here's someone who wants to say something to you.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, folks.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Vinny. Bye-bye.
I saw the donut.
Yeah, isn't that great? There's a great picture I've just put up. I just put up a picture of Hillary and a very young, very pretty-looking girl standing next to each other, and they both got a donut in their hand. The one donut has a significantly larger hole than the other one, and you can guess which one Hillary's holding. Thank you very much, Vinny.
Cheers, Gareth.
All right, my man. Bye-bye. Oh, wow. What a guy. He's done so well. All right, listen. We've got to get to John Madison. We've got a couple of minutes left. Let me squeeze in some of these messages. Lots of people messaging us this morning and lots of people calling. We'll get to your calls too. 0861-555-189. It's Friday. It's the weekend, baby. Roscoe says, why are you hating on the Fat Club? Nothing wrong with appreciating a fuller figure. If you want to appreciate good music and lyrics and being a little thick, listen to this song, Just a Little Thick, Trinidad James. Thank you, Roscoe. Roscoe, I don't hate fat people. I'm not attracted to them. Full stop. Sorry, I can't help you. Can't lie about it. And I don't think it's good for you in the long run. Roscoe, you want to lose weight so that you can live a happy life. Look at Flax, for example. When you were fat, you were unhappy.
Yeah, but you can change it around in a matter of months. You can go from fat to being the size you meant to be.
Right.
It's not just being fat. There's problems that come with being fat. Like, you can get diabetes.
Yeah. Right.
You can get heart problems. You can get lots of diseases and stuff. So rather be fit and healthy. That's the lifestyle we're promoting.
Right.
We're not saying fat people are bad. We're just saying to live longer and lead a better life, you got to get your life in order and you got to get in shape and you got to get fit.
Vaynant says, we have a pizza place here that sells those monster pizzas the size of a table. Monday is buy one, get one free. That'll sort you out the whole week. Wow, that sounds amazing, Vaynard. Jared says, I just realized Ben's parents dropped him off in a jungle in Jamaica. The only way he understood that other guy was to grow up in Jamaica. Is that true, Ben?
Yeah, fair enough.
And someone else said,
There's no secrets here.
When Ben translated that Jamaican guy, I was sure that Ben must be related to Tamsang Ayanki. The guy who, the deaf...
The sign language interpreter.
Sign language, yeah, right, at Madiba's funeral.
Yeah.
So there we go, Ben. Lots of compliments for you. And lots of people saying that Oscar Pistorius is giving his first interview to a British network. It would have been much more credible if he did the interview with Cliff Central.
Ka-ching.
Can't wait. Well, yeah, it's ka-ching, I'm afraid. And Anushka, I'll never pay for an interview. Oh, no, John Madison's just stormed out. I think he thought I was going to pay him.
Oh, dear.
Now what are we going to do?
Damn it.
And he took a chair with him, too.
He at least to finance his trip here. He's going to sell one of our chairs. Jared says, the real reason women have handbags is to fill up Tupperwares with pizzas at the all-you-can-eat places.
Okay.
Is that true,
Mums? No.
You've never done that?
What?
All right. Well, that's what I've told by Jared. And that's why would I not believe
him? Well, maybe it's mothers, mostly. I wouldn't know.
Flax Shelton says, if you can survive on one Steers burger for supper, then we can no longer be friends. And Michelle says, I hate to say it, but Flax should not eat any more fast food. Your moobs are getting to the size that may require a bra soon.
Fat shamers.
Yes, fat shamers. God damn you. Tyrell says, we don't only eat supper, though. What am I meant to do for the rest of the day? put your brain to work on that one, Flax.
You know, I based it on the fact that some companies actually give their employees lunch. So I only worked it in at dinner time when, like, the whole family's together.
Okay. Well, you know what? There are solutions. At least you're providing half of the solutions. And then lots and lots of messages on Twitter, too. You can always tweet us directly from the Cliff Central app. It's very, very easy. You press the little tweet icon, and it comes up right in front of us on the screen, and we can see everything. When we come back in a moment, John Madison to tell us all about what his book, which is terrific. I read it over the last few days. God, Spies, and Lies. In fact, I only got it 2 days ago, so I've read it in 2 days. And it's really absorbing. It's incredible. There's stories that put you in the room where South Africa's biggest decisions were made. Very, very interesting stuff.
Halala, my Freestata, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Limpopo, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Gauteng, halala.
Halala.
Halala, KwaZulu Natal, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Halala.
Thanks so much, Laudi.
And now, everybody, to the dance floor.
CliffCentral.com.